Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Small Business Town Hall with Commissioner Laura and Assemblymember Christina Garcia. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star zero. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and I'd now like to turn the conference over to your host, Assemblymember Christina Garcia. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone and welcome. My name is Christina Garcia and I represent the 58th Assembly District, which encompasses about half of Southeast LA County. COVID-19 has created a lot of economic uncertainty for all of us. We hope to answer as many questions as possible today. And if we do not get to a question, we will make sure that you get an answer from either my office or the insurance commissioner's office in the near future. On this call, we will be joined by Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, Xiomara Peña with the California Program Director, National Latino Entrepreneurship Director for a Small Business Majority, and Julia Jaramillo, a Public Affairs Specialist from the U.S. Small Business Administration. I'm going to keep my remarks short so we have time to hear from all of our speakers, including our insurance commissioner. Before I hand it over to him, I'd like to do a brief introduction. Insurance Commissioner Lara was raised in East LA by immigrant parents. Lara made history in 2018 by becoming the first openly gay person elected to statewide office in California. Commissioner Lara previously served in the California legislature representing Assembly District 50 from 2010 to 2012 and Senate District 33 from 2012 to 2018. Commissioner Lara earned the BA in Journalism and Spanish with a minor in Chicano Studies from San Diego State University. And on a personal note, Commissioner Lara and I have been neighbors for a long time in the city of Bell Gardens. both had the pleasure of representing that community in the Assembly. With that, I'll hand it over to Insurance Commissioner Lara. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Assemblywoman Christina Garcia. It's great to hear your voice, and hopefully I get to see you in person one of these days. And thank you again for your tremendous leadership throughout our Southeast LA cities. It's great. So again, everyone, thank you that's on the call. As we look ahead of getting our community back on track, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and, of course, their workers. New data continues to show unprecedented job losses in LA County. The Department of Insurance has taken a number of steps to help small businesses. Most recently, on April 13th, I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic for March and April. The stay-at-home orders have reduced losses and continue to this day. And as of last Friday, I extended my order to include the month of May as well. And it's important to note that even though the press has focused rightfully so on the private passenger auto, there's five other lines of insurance where we're asking and business owners will be getting some sort of refund or future credit through this order. That also includes commercial automobile insurance for those businesses that have shipping companies, for example, workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, and medical malpractice insurance for all of those health care specialists like dentists, orthodontists, psychologists, podiatrists, and so forth that have seen a decline in the amount of surgeries they're doing and the amount of patients that they're seeing. So they will also be getting a refund and a partial credit as well. So with many businesses closed due to the COVID-19 emergency, you need relief from premiums that really no longer reflect the current risk of loss. And by requiring insurance companies to return these premiums, it puts money back in your pocket or reduces your future costs when you need it the most. As a business owner, you shouldn't have to do absolutely anything to receive the refund, and insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. This could be in a form, as I said earlier, a premium credit, could be a reduction, a return of premium, or an adjustment that gets funds back to you or reduces what you owe in the future. The amount you will get back will vary by company and policy, and in many cases, it's going to be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May. You can also, what we're telling a lot of business owners is, please contact your insurance company to provide your actual or estimated change in payroll or business receipts, and possibly you can qualify for a larger discount. So that will involve you contacting your insurance provider. This really builds on the action I took last month to request insurance companies to give at a minimum a 60-day grace period for businesses to pay premiums. Many insurance companies have honored my request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during this national emergency. And again, last week I extended that grace period to request for a grace period until July, because Californians continue to face these unprecedented challenges due to the pandemic. So again, if you're having difficulty paying your premium, your insurance premiums, please contact your insurance provider, and they should be able to give you some sort of grace period. We're asking for a minimum of 60 days. We know that all these different bills are coming to fruition, and you need some time to assess where you are as a business owner in terms of not only your workers' comp, the number of employees, how you're going to, you know, reconfigure your business, and all that takes time, and we want to make sure that your premiums don't get in the way of you doing the necessary adjustments that you need to keep your doors open. I also want to bring up another important issue. My department has also received a number of complaints regarding business interruption insurance. Many businesses have looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage, and as you know, each insurance policy really is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including here in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether such policies should cover losses due to COVID-19. While these cases move through the courts, we are monitoring them and have taken several significant steps to address business interruption within our jurisdiction. For example, we've learned from some insurance companies that they are simply just denying business interruption claims without any thorough investigation, and even often discouraging many business owners from even filing a claim, and that is completely unacceptable. So in response to numerous complaints from business owners from throughout California and various public officials, I'm requiring insurance companies to comply with their contracts and with California law by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as they would with any other disasters, such as a fire, a flood, an earthquake. And so my department will be monitoring and watching to make sure that they are complying with the law and actually opening these claims for investigation. And again, just as before I wrap up, I want to just also bring up workers' compensation, which is also an important issue that business owners continue to ask questions around. On May 6th, Governor Newsom signed an executive order extending the workers' compensation eligibility for workers who are exposed or contracted COVID-19. This order applies to any workers who test positive or were diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th, and within 14 days of performing a labor or a service at the place of work. You know, I think the governor's action plan really helps people recover and get back to work and give a peace of mind to those who are keeping our economies going, who as we take steps to reopen, a lot of our essential workers, our farm workers, warehouse workers, for example, need to make sure that they're also covered. I should note that this is, and it's an important thing to also for business owners to understand that this is a rebuttable presumption, which means that employers will have a chance to prove that that illness is not work-related, and that the presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order. You know, it would really take some time to see what the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic is on our workers' compensation system, but we do know that our businesses are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls and may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term because of my order to get those premium refunds to you all. But overall, we're still monitoring to see what the impact of this pandemic will have on our workers' compensation system to address this, you know, this inequity that we're seeing in terms of workers, you know, that are given the opportunity to transition from regular duties to lighter duties, or home business clerical who are still paying rates based upon higher job classifications. My department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would change the intent, with the changes to it, really reflect the lower risk of worker injury in light of the pandemic. I'll be reviewing the proposed regulations in the near future and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums to reflect the reality and the current risk. I also quickly just want to urge businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these unprecedented times, we see a surge in scams. And please report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. We have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including an office in the Assemblywoman's District right there in Commerce, California, which serves LA County. And just be on alert for those that are offering bogus workers' compensation policies. Be on alert for fraudulent worker compensation claims by employees that may occur as a result of layoffs. And please report any suspected insurance scams and fraud by calling our Department of Insurance at 1-800-927-4357. Again, it's 1-800-927-4357, or you can go to our website at insurance.ca.gov. And while we've transitioned the majority of our staff to telework in support of the governor's stay-at-home directive, we continue to provide essential services for California consumers. We are available on that 1-800 number. Again, it's 1-800-927-4357. And I know it often gives some anxiety when people hear a 1-800 number, but we have live people, insurance experts, that are on the phone Monday through Friday to help answer questions, help guide you through what your options are, help you understand what your policy is and what you're covered. We know that as business owners, you know, your passion is to keep your business open and the daily, you know, issues that come with that. And that's important. And many often, a lot of our small business owners, you know, may not understand their full aspect of their insurance policy. And we can help you through that. And we speak multiple languages, and we look forward to continuing to assist you. So please do not hesitate to call us. You can also email a question, at our website on insurance.ca.gov. And, you know, you're not going to get a recording. These are actual people that are there. And, you know, before we move to the questions and our other amazing panelists that we have here for you, I'd like to invite you to a teletown hall entirely in Spanish with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday, June 3rd, para participar en esta teleconferencia para ayudar a los dueños de pequeñas empresas. Envíe un correo telefónico electrónico a crb@insurance.ca.gov con el título teleconferencia. And again, we're also working on doing multiple languages throughout the state so that we can continue to help our immigrant business owners that are just as important and part of the essential fabric of our economy in California. So thank you again, Assemblywoman Cristina Garcia. It's great to be on and continue to support your efforts for your constituents.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for your advocacy in the space. Do want to encourage small businesses to continue to take advantage of the 1-800 number that the insurance commissioner has provided for us. We'll make sure we share that on our website as well. These calls help you, but they also help us to ensure that we are better serving you. The same thing with our office. And so please call as we have returned to the Capitol and working on legislation around COVID and moving the state forward. These calls help inform our policy making. With that, I'm going to introduce next Xiomara Peña, who works for the Small Business Majority and National Nonprofit. She focuses her time on overseeing policy recommendations and advocacy work in California and manages their Latino Small Business Research. Xiomara, thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Assemblywoman, and thank you, Insurance Commissioner, for all of the amazing work that both of your offices are doing to support small businesses. As mentioned, my name is Xiomara. I am the California Program Director for Small Business Majority, a national nonprofit that has been hitting the ground hard, supporting small business owners during this time. Just for those of you that aren't familiar with our organization, we're a national small business group focusing on research, advocacy, and education. And we have been responding, working with many different groups, both small business development centers, community development, financial institution partners, members from the SBA, elected officials, and others to make sure that as developments unfold, that we're providing up-to-date information. And so we do, off the bat, because I always somehow forget to say this, we do have a lot of resources on our website. We have a COVID-19 resource portal that you can visit. We also have a technical assistance website called Venturize.org, where you can find one of these great groups that can provide free one-on-one counseling. The SBA funds these centers, and our tax dollars are already working for us. And so a lot of folks that maybe have specific questions around, well, now that I'm struggling with figuring out how to draw down my PPP loan for maximum forgiveness, working with a consultant for free can help get you to the point where you're ready to look at your finance, the financial aspects of solidifying your business to then prepare you to reopen. So I know that we have received some questions about that, and I just wanted to make a comment that our organization does have a matching tool where you can enter your zip code and find a local center near you where you can find some resources there. I also want to mention that at Small Business Majority, one of the core beliefs that we are focused on is ensuring that we have the polling to inform the policy recommendations that we're seeing now unfold, not just by the governor, but as the Assembly and the Senate are going back and looking at the May revised budget and what tools businesses need in order to make it through this crisis. Data is incredibly important, so I encourage everyone to reach out to your offices and let them know how your business is personally being impacted. Of the polling that we released just a couple of weeks ago, we know that here in California, businesses are struggling, with nearly 9 out of 10 businesses indicating that they've been severely impacted by COVID-19. And also the report found that 41% of folks' revenues have declined by more than 50%. So again, as we're thinking about where California is headed and what tools and resources business owners will be needing, this is incredibly important. And we invite you to continue to reach out to us directly or to reach out to your elected officials to make sure that they recognize how businesses are struggling. And the personal stories are always great. So I do also, while I have a few more minutes, want to just give a quick overview about a couple of programs that I know are probably top of mind in terms of the federal, state, and local resources that exist to support business owners. And I'll start off with the Paycheck Protection Program. To date, there's been $659 billion allocated for the program. And there are still local groups that are providing access to PPP funds. So if you have not applied, the belief that the applications process is challenging, the SBA has worked tremendously hard to ensure that they have increased capacity so that business owners can go to local lenders. In the district, we know LISC LA is one of those local lenders that is processing smaller dollar PPP loans. Opportunity Fund is there in Commerce, which also has been supporting the rollout of the PPP loans. And there are several other groups as well. So there is still some dollars. Not all of the fund has been depleted yet. And this was thanks to the work that our elected officials at the federal level did to ensure that more dollars would be allocated. Want to make a point that the SBA just last Friday did release a forgiveness application, which is available under the Department of Treasury's website. We also have a link to it on Venturize.org. That application will walk you through the forgiveness piece. And again, working with an SBDC consultant, a Small Business Development Center consultant, that becomes a much smoother process, because there are some questions around, well, I have some folks that I had to let go of. They're now on unemployment. What is the process to bring them back to work, and how do I do it? Can I still be forgiven if I do that process? and they don't return to work? And there, and the answer could be yes, but there are some steps that you as a business owner should follow to ensure that you're doing everything in your power to have the paperwork that you'll need to have in hand when you're submitting the for the forgiveness pieces of this loan. And again, whatever is not forgiven, this converts into a very affordable product. It's a 1% loan, repayable over 2 years. So we know that folks, if you're self-employed, if you have under 500 employees, if you're an independent contractor, these are things that you can apply for, and that is still an option in a program that you can be looking towards. The Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program is, and I know we have a representative here from the SBA, so I'll let them speak specifically on that program. Also want to briefly mention that in addition to the federal programs, the state of California has allocated $50 million currently to the iBank program, which will provide state loan disaster guarantee products. These are very affordable loan products as well. So if you are unable for whatever reason, you're an ITIN holder, you are, you've had a prior conviction that doesn't allow you to receive some federal funding through the SBA products, any of these reasons for as to why you may not have been able to apply for the federal PPP loans, this is another option for you. There are, again, local CDFIs that you can contact, and we know that there are 4 groups right now, and that list is expected to grow. So as new developments happen for the state loan guarantee program, please reach out. Very excited that the governor also included an additional $50 million allocation for this program, which would bring the total, if approved, to $100 million in disaster loan guarantees for folks here in the state of California that were unable to get federal assistance. And then GoBiz is also a wonderful resource for you to look at. They have a resource portal where they're combing through all of the programs that are available for small business support, including the tax relief programs in addition to some of the financial tools that I mentioned, as well as the California Resiliency Roadmap website that was announced by the governor a few weeks ago, detailing stage by stage of reopen and industry by industry specific guidelines for things for folks to take into consideration as you're preparing for your business to reopen. Even with financial tools that you're looking at getting, there will be some operations and restructuring that needs to take place at your business to reopen and reopen safely for your customers and your workers. And so, again, finding a local technical assistance group that can help you do that is going to be great. And so with that, I know we have several different speakers. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you these updates. And, again, think of us as a resource, but also reach out to the local technical assistance partners.
Thank you, Xiomara. Some very important and useful information that you have provided us. Next, we're going to have Julia Giarmoleo, who works in the Los Angeles District Office of Small Business Administration. At the SBA, she has worked in the Office of Disaster Assistance and has been responsible for the Disaster Loan Program for the Western United States. Julia, thank you, and thank you again for joining us one more time.
Thank you so much for having me again, and thank you so much to my fellow panelists for presenting so much excellent information. Xiomara gave an incredible overview of some of the SBA programs and is a true testament to just how amazing the resources we have available are. And thank you to Assemblywoman Garcia and Commissioner Lara and both your offices and to everyone joining us today. As was said, my name is Julia Giarmoleo. I'm the Public Affairs Specialist with the Los Angeles District Office of the Small Business Administration. We cover LA, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties, but we really collaborate with all the 68 district offices across the country on a national level to really make sure our small business community has the assistance and the resources they need to thrive. We always say that small businesses are and always have been the true backbone of the American economy and the heart of our communities. And as we all know, right now they're facing an unprecedented economic disruption and truly suffering. And I just want to make sure that it is absolutely clear that SBA, our resources, our partners, our community of small business advocates, many of whom are on the call today, we're here to help. We're here to assist. We're here to help our community overcome these challenges And it is what we're honored to do it, we're proud to do it, and we're absolutely dedicated to helping to move through these challenges together. We do have a couple, and information has been changing and being updated pretty constantly. So I just wanted, I know we're familiar, most people are probably familiar with the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Advance. So I'll just touch on, give a general overview. The Economic Injury Disaster Loan provides vital economic support to small businesses to help overcome the loss of revenue experienced as a result of the pandemic. We also included, as a result of this specific situation, we developed the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Advance of up to $10,000. This is not a grant. We've heard it called the SBA grant, but it is an advance on an economic injury disaster loan. So it does, when you are moving through that application process, it does, applying for the advance does require that you apply for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan as a whole. You do not have to accept the full economic injury loan amount if you're approved for one to get the advance or to maintain the advance, but you do have to complete that application. At the moment, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, or actually as of Tuesday, in California alone, our Office of Disaster Assistance has provided nearly 43,000 small businesses with nearly $5 billion of working capital, and that's billion with a B. As a result of the latest funds appropriated by Congress, the SBA has begun accepting new economic injury disaster loan and EIDL advance applications on a limited basis only from U.S. agricultural businesses, and this is to provide American farmers, ranchers, and any other agricultural businesses with the access to emergency working capital that facilitates stability in our nation's food supply chains. If you have already applied for an economic injury disaster loan and you're waiting to hear back, unfortunately, at a district office level, we don't have access to those applications, but we do have a disaster customer service assistance line, and it is a 1-800 number, but as Commissioner Lara said, do not be discouraged. People answer it's a short phone tree. You will eventually talk to someone who can provide an overview of your specific case. And so that number is 1-800-659-2955. The other program that has been a hot topic lately is the Paycheck Protection Program. And this is a loan designed to provide direct incentive for small businesses to keep their workers on payroll. The loan is eligible for forgiveness if all employees are kept on the payroll for 8 weeks and the money is used for payroll, rent, mortgage interest, and utilities. So I'll just kind of repeat that. Forgiveness is based on the employer maintaining or quickly rehiring employees and maintaining salary levels. And the loan will be fully forgiven if the funds are used for payroll costs, interest on mortgages, rent, and utilities. So at least 75% has to be used for payroll. You can, as was mentioned earlier, you can still apply for these loans through any existing SBA 7A lender, any federally insured depository institution, federally insured credit union, farm credit system. If you need, there's a list online that you just pop in your zip code and it'll tell you the lenders that are closest to you, and that is available at sba.gov/paycheck-protection-program/find. And we're really encouraging business owners to shop around for a loan, to go to different lenders to make sure that you are, as a business owner, you are working with a lender who understands your needs and who is able to meet those needs for you. So if you aren't able to get through at one lending institution, you can go to another one. And that's where our small business development centers, our women's business centers, our veterans business outreach centers, and our community partners are incredibly helpful because they can help you prepare your financial documents and they can help you shop around for a loan and kind of serve as an advocate because it can be an overwhelming process at times. Forgiveness for that PPP loan is, so when you're going through, as Xiomara said, if you go to Treasury's website, it's also on SBA's website, there is an entire forgiveness application, and I encourage everyone to really go through and look for it. That way you are familiar, as you're applying for PPP, you're familiar with what the requirements are. Your lender will also delineate what kind of record keeping and what kind of documents you'll need to submit. And the Small Business Development Center's SBA's Resource Partner Network can help with that as well. Forgiveness is calculated, each employee that on average worked more than 40 hours a week during that calculation period counts as one full-time employee. Overtime does not apply in that situation. And then part-time employees that did not work more than 40 hours on average will have their average weekly hours worked together. So basically, if you had three employees who consistently worked 20 hours, they would count as 1.5 full-time employees. And so that's kind of a general overview of the programs that are available. There is on Treasury's website, as well as SBA's, a frequently updated, frequently asked questions worksheet that has answers to more specific case-by-case situations. And if your question isn't answered in those, I strongly encourage you to reach out to the district office. We're here, our resource partner network, as was mentioned as well. We also have instituted the SBA Debt Relief Program. So SBA is providing financial reprieve to small businesses. So any small business that has a current 7A or 504 or microloan with an approved lending institution, SBA will automatically pay the principal, interest, and the fees for the next 6 months. And SBA will also automatically pay principal, interest, and fees of any new 7A, 504, and microloans that were issued prior to September 27, 2020. All of this information, including the links to the frequently asked questions and the forgiveness application, are available at sba.gov/coronavirus. And as I mentioned, in these uncertain times, it can be difficult to know what kind of assistance you may need or qualify for, and we understand that. We are here to help. As I mentioned, our network of resource partners, small business development centers, women's business centers, which men can also go to, veterans business outreach centers, SCORE mentors are all available to help small business owners navigate and identify not only which SBA resources can be most beneficial, but they also know what other options are available as well. And they're available virtually, over the phone, for any kind of business development or recovery need. And they're available in a wide breadth of languages. We recently actually did a calculation, and we have over 50 languages available just in LA, Santa Barbara, and Ventura County alone through our resource partner network. If you visit sba.gov/local-assistance, you, similarly to the Paycheck Protection Program, find a lender. You would just put in your zip code, and it'll show you what resource partners are nearest to you. The district office as well is here to help. We are your recovery business center, so to speak. The latest information and our upcoming events, virtual events, are all posted on our Twitter at @SBA_Los Angeles. They're also on our website at sba.gov/ca/LA. And you're always welcome to send us an email at LADO for Los Angeles District Office at sba.gov. You can call us at 213-634-3855. We're really here to help. If we don't have the answer, we will help you find the answer. If there are any questions, just reach out. We are here to help.
Thank you, Julia, for all that great information. And just to reiterate what our speakers have said so far is to please call. We are all here to help. I know that it's been a topsy-turvy number of weeks since the state issued our stay-at-home orders. Patience, but we are all eager to help and put our experience to work. With that, today we had a number of individuals submit questions in advance. We will be answering some of those within our allotted time. Please know that if we don't get to your question, the Insurance Commissioner's Office will reach out and provide you with an answer in the very near future. In addition, you may contact my office if you would like to ask questions after this call. I can be reached at 562-861-5803. 562-861-5803. Insurance Commissioner Lara, the first question states, I paid my insurance and understood it included business interruption coverage. Why isn't loss of business due to COVID-19 pandemic covered?
Thank you. That is a very important issue and a lot of the questions that we've been getting around the state as well. The first thing you need to know is that not all policies are the same. We would need to look at the specific policy to better really understand what coverages and exclusions you have. If you have business interruption coverage, but your insurance company is telling you that these losses are not covered due to exclusions in your policy, we recommend that you file a formal claim with your insurance company. Insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate your claim and to formally respond back to you with their coverage decision and any other reason for any denial that they may make. This is why I sent that notice on April 14th to all agents and brokers and insurance companies, reminding them of their obligation under law to fairly investigate all business interruption insurance claims submitted by businesses. It's important for you to, the business owner, to start creating that paper trail and the proof of having the insurance company do the investigation, give you a reason why or why not it's covered. I have Tony Signorelli, my deputy commissioner for consumer services, on the line who's been working on and communicating with a lot of our business owners around business interruption. Tony, is there something that I missed or that you want to elaborate on this issue?
Yeah, Commissioner, you pretty much said it all. What I would add, though, is, and you mentioned it earlier, is that these policies can get pretty complicated. But there are a few common themes that we've been seeing with many of the business interruption claims that have been presented to us to take a look at. For example, as everyone's aware, there are virus and contamination exclusions in many of these policies. So that would really be the first thing that you would want to look for and that we would look for to see, do you have a virus exclusion in your policy, and does it apply to all your coverages and specifically to business interruption coverage? And then another hurdle that we've seen is there a lot of the policies require that your loss of income or your business interruption claim be caused by direct physical damage or loss to your property caused from a covered peril. And so you would need to get through those couple of hurdles also on some of these policies. But even though these do create hurdles, don't just take your insurance company's word for that you don't have coverage and don't bother filing a claim. Force the insurance company to formally investigate and formally respond to you, and that we would be happy at the end of that process to look at that case and see what your policy says, walk through it with you, and get with the insurance company to the degree we find an issue that they need to address. So once you contact us, Commissioner gave the number out earlier, but I'll give it again. It's 1-800-927-4357. You can call our operators there and say you want to file a request for assistance, basically a complaint, and they'll walk you through that process. You can also go online to our website and file it electronically at www.insurance.ca.gov. And we'll look at all the facts of the claim, the policy provisions, and the entire contract, and get with the insurance company to make sure that what they're advising you of is accurate, and see what we can do to help you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Our next question for Insurance Commissioner Lara. You issued a bulletin requiring insurance companies to refund premiums. Will that be for my total monthly payment, and when will I get that?
Oh, good question. The ordered premium refunds, we did that just to remind people why, because the risk of loss is much lower due to the statewide stay-at-home order, and we are quite frankly seeing fewer accidents or fewer injuries on the road and falling business payrolls and receipts, reductions in liability exposure due to temporary closures for many businesses. So the premium reductions and refunds should reflect that lower risk. but the risk obviously has not gone away completely. My department will be watching to make sure that the amount the insurance companies the amount that they're returning is adequate, and that they're not shortchanging consumers and businesses. I want to have my general counsel, Ken Schnell, give more details, since our legal team has really been tracking and monitoring and working on this issue. Ken, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Commissioner. Suffice it to say, the amount that you get back will vary by company and the type of policy that you maintain. In many cases, the reduction or refund will be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May as these stay-at-home orders continue. They will not be 100% refund of your premium for those months. The reduction instead will be tied to the change in risk during the months the Californians are subject to the stay-at-home orders. While we've already seen a number of insurance companies announcing premium reductions and credits, Commissioner Lara issued a bulletin directing all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as possible, but no later than 120 days from the date of the bulletin, which would create a deadline of no later than August 11, 2020. As Commissioner Lara has already indicated, the directive applies to several lines of insurance, including private passenger auto, commercial auto, workers' comp, commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, medical malpractice insurance, and any other line of insurance where the measure of risk had become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic and the various stay-at-home orders. Recognizing the unique nature of each insurer's book of business and the type of insurance coverage offered, we directed each insurance company to propose the best way to immediately return premium to policyholders. We also directed each insurer to report back to the Department of Insurance regarding how each insurer will fulfill this order within 60 days or by June 12, 2020. Insureds that have not received premium refunds or relief in spite of the reduction in the covered risks under a policy are again strongly encouraged to contact your insurance company to inquire about the refund or premium credits. If you are not satisfied with the answer that you receive from your insurance company or your insurance producer, again, please contact us at the Consumer Helpline at 1-800-927-4357, or you can contact us at the website, again, insurance.ca.gov. In this regard, Commissioner Lara has also requested an extended grace period to pay your premiums. And if you're having trouble paying your premium, please contact your insurance company and inquire about the commissioner's grace period notice and see if you can reach an accommodation with your insurance company. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question states, my business has increased delivery and may even be driving more miles because of the stay-at-home orders. Will the premium refunds apply to operators of commercial vehicles as well as personal vehicles?
Yes, that's another great question. Yes, there are strong indicators that demonstrating that the risk of accidents have fallen because of the stay-at-home orders. Just this week, I saw there was a report that fatal crashes are down 84% since March. Obviously, those who are not driving are pose very little risk of loss. But those that are essential businesses that must use our roads, these drivers are traveling the roads with substantially less traffic. So that means that their risk profile has also lessened. And so, yes, it does cover commercial carriers as well and commercial companies. I just want to quickly say I've asked the insurance companies to extend auto insurance coverage for drivers who are using their personal vehicle to fulfill deliveries for California essential businesses during the COVID pandemic. And that actually really ensures that our businesses can continue to provide essential goods to residents and families at their homes and that the delivery workers are protected also during this pandemic. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you. Our next question states, my business is not considered essential, but I am continuing to employ workers and pay my workers' compensation insurance. Can workers' comp insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they are considered essential businesses?
Yes, workers' compensation insurers cannot exclude COVID-19 from their coverage. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. So this includes workers engaged in frontline occupations, as you know, we know, our healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, delivery, among other things. As I mentioned earlier, Governor Newsom signed executive order creating a presumption that a worker contracted COVID-19 while on the job if workers were diagnosed with COVID-19 or test positive within 14 days. That order applies to all workers, whether or not they're deemed essential.
Thank you for that. I just want to be mindful of the time. I'm going to ask one more question, and then we will have some closing remarks by myself and the commissioner. If we do not get to your question, we have a number of questions that have been submitted. You will be receiving an answer from the insurance commissioner's office. You could also contact his office at the 800 number or our office. Insurance Commissioner Lara, our last question is, what is your office doing to manage the potential increased cost in workers' compensation coverage due to the COVID-19 crisis? And can you speak on the impact that the crisis has had on workers' compensation?
Yeah, that is the magic question in terms of what the impact is going to be. It is important to note that it will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system overall or on premiums business owners pay. I would say in the short term, we're looking for ways to reduce business costs for workers' compensation. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term, especially since my April 13th order for premium rebates, which, as we discussed, includes workers' compensation insurance. Under the current compensation regulations, which did not contemplate a pandemic, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed even though they are not working, which means that employers' rates will remain the same as if these employees were still in the workplace performing regular duties. And employers that provide workers with the opportunity to transition from regular to lighter home-based clerical duties are still paying rates based upon a higher job classification. So there's this discrepancy that we need to look at. And so we held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regs, and we're going to look at those regs to make sure that whether they're consistent with my overall mandate to have us all reduce the premiums to reflect the reduced risk. And we will continue to monitor our overall workers' compensation system to make sure that, there isn't any major changes because of the pandemic. So it's still too early to tell, and we're still trying to assess what the future is going to look like in terms of the workers' compensation space. But we thought it was critical and important for our businesses to get those refunds as quickly as possible, given that the workers' compensation premiums they've been paying no longer reflect the reality that we're living in.
Insurance Commissioner, thank you for that helpful information to those questions. I want to take a moment to do some closing comments, but before I do that, I want to ask our Insurance Commissioner if he has any closing comments for our listeners.
Thank you, Assemblywoman Cristina Garcia, and thank you to the other panelists too. Again, please utilize us as a resource. We are here to help you. We are, running with, full steam ahead even through this pandemic. Know that the Department of Insurance is here to be a resource to our businesses to ensure that we give you and provide you with, you know, the help you're going to need to try to decipher the complicated world of insurance. And again, we speak multiple languages. We're ready to assist you Monday through Friday. And again, just thank you, Assemblywoman Christina, for your leadership and the tremendous work you're doing for our Southeast LA County communities. And good luck to you as you guys, and you all, I should say, work under this very truncated legislative policy schedule. I know you guys can get it done, but it's really unprecedented what we're trying to do here. And again, we're here to be a resource to you. And please, Assemblywoman, thank your staff for working with us to get this done for your constituents today.
Thank you. Once again, the number for the Insurance Commissioner's Hotline is 1-800-927-4357. That's 1-800-927-4357. I also want to remind folks that on June 3rd, the Commissioner will be hosting a Spanish Teleton Hall with a lot of information. We will be sharing that information on our social media as well. I want to thank Julie Jaramillo with the U.S. Small Business Administration and Xiomara Peña with the Small Business Majority for joining us and providing some great information and resources for small businesses out there. Our office is open. We are working remotely, but we are open. You can contact us at 562-861-5803. We have been hearing from small businesses since the beginning of our stay-at-home orders. We understand that it's been a stressful time for everyone. Small businesses are the fabric of our community. You are not just small business owners, but you are our residents. Oftentimes, you are employing our residents, and you are the tax base for our community. And so your success is essential to ensure that our communities continue to thrive. But we can only help you if you continue to contact us. I know sometimes it feels like it's impossible, but know that you have a great team, both in Team Garcia with the Small Business Administration and Insurance Commissioner Lara, as well as other resources that we're striving to connect you to. I want to thank all the Chambers of Commerce from the 58th District that joined us to promote this. We will be sharing this on our social media sometime next week. The Insurance Commissioner will also be providing it for individuals to listen in to recap the very important, very useful information that was shared here today. We will be a community that continues to thrive in spite of. I'm positive of that. But we will only thrive if we are together in this. And so know that you are not alone, and we do want to continue to work with you. With that, Insurance Commissioner, thank you. Thank you to our guest speakers. Thank you to staff for helping to put this together. And thank you to everyone who has joined us today. Everyone be safe and have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing Service. You may now disconnect.